In our last class, we finished looking at some of the examples that of prayers when Jesus was praying, and then we started looking at, or we just got into looking at examples of when the apostles prayed. Now, when we got into that lesson, we started looking at a couple of things. We were looking at some verses that would help us establish something. Now, when we looked at Matthew 28:19, what from that verse or group of verses can tell us about these men? And what I mean by that, are these men that we could follow their teaching, or that we should follow their teaching?
Yes. Right.
Okay. So, yes. And we see that because that's one of the things that they are told, that they are to make disciples or followers or students, learners. So, yes, we can follow them. And we also see how Jesus trusted these men. So if we're able to follow their teaching, then this means that we can follow what we learn through God's Word as far as the examples that they lived and also direct teaching that they've done. So then we looked at other verses that explained this same idea, and we looked at 1 Corinthians 11:1. You don't have to turn over there. I'm just going to do a quick review before we pick up where we left off. 1 Corinthians 11:1. It said that we were to do something, and that was to imitate. And this was Paul. He was talking about how they were to imitate him. And we also saw that when they were to imitate his ways, we saw whose ways these really are. So whose ways was Paul imitating?
Christ's.
Okay. And because we see that these are Christ's ways, and because it said that Paul said that his ways are in Christ. We also looked at Philippians 3:17. It said, join in following my example. Philippians 4:9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, you also became imitators of us and the Lord. So we see this idea of examples of where we can follow the teachings of the apostles. So we saw over and over this idea of following the apostles' examples. And we also see where they get these examples. Then we started looking at some verses that give some instruction, or it tells us some things about prayer. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and I think when we left class, we were just finishing that up and about to get into 1 John 5. Now on 1 Thessalonians, we see that it says we should pray without ceasing, and this has to do with our attitude towards prayer. And we've looked at the same idea that we've seen over and over in past lessons as well, that this has to do, or shows our trust that God does hear us and that He answers our prayers. But of course we know that He does this in His way and in His time. And being a people that trust in this, people that understand this, we should want to pray. Okay, so we should pray without ceasing. And that's pretty much where we left off. And we're about to go into 1 John 5. Is that 44 on your page? Okay, that's page 44 on y'all's lesson. Let's look at 1 John 5, 14 and 15. There we go. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. So, when we look at this verse, it says that this is the confidence which we have before Him, or towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So, if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that the requests have been made. Now, verse 15 tells us that if we know and trust that He hears, then we know that He answers. We know that God answers, as I just said earlier in His time. But verse 16 shows us one thing we need to pray for. Let's look at verse 16. I didn't read that. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life, and those who commit sin not leading to death. So verse 16 shows us one thing we need to pray for, and that's our brothers and sisters in Christ. And more importantly, explains one specific time we should and can pray for them. And that was speaking of when they're in sin. What does verse 14 tell us? I mean, as far as about the things that we ask when we're going to God asking these things.
According to His will.
Okay. So these are things that need to be according to His will. We shouldn't be asked for things that we don't have a right to ask for. And if we keep this idea in mind, it will help us to be thoughtful or mindful of the things we're asking. And yes, sir.
Also tells us He wants to hear from us. You know, God can answer and know He wants to hear from us. He doesn't know what we want. He can choose to, but He wants to hear from us.
Okay. Okay, so He definitely wants to hear from us.
He wants to know what our wants and wishes are. Not that we need to be greedy, if you will, but He does want to hear from us. That's the design of prayer.
Okay. Now,
that being our need for Him, that be our humility.
Okay, so we definitely need Him. In verse, and this kind of goes into our next point, if we keep these things in mind, keeping in mind what we're praying about, in 1 Peter 4:7, Peter 4:7 says to be of sound judgment and of sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. I believe that's telling us that we need to be sound in our judgment and sober or alert to our actions. We need to use these for the purpose of prayer, sound judgment, and sober spirit. If we are sober, alert to our actions and thinking in our life, then that becomes our part of our life or a way of life. And if we are praying without ceasing, which we looked at earlier, that too is a part of our lives. So we should be alert and mindful, excuse me, and thankful of the things or what has been done, and also in what we ask in our prayers. We need to think about what we're saying.
Explain. I guess I'm not understanding the...
Which part?
The sound judgment and sober spirit. You know, yes, I understand. I guess I'm not... I don't know where I'm not understanding.
It's not documented. We need to pray with intent. You know, not just babbling on stuff to be praying.
Serious.
Yeah, this version says serious and watchful.
Oh, does it? Does it use the word serious?
So I thought it had to do with intent, you know, or...
Now, does it use serious instead of sound? Serious, okay.
And watchful? Just says serious and watchful.
Okay. The American Standard begins the verse, "The end of all things is at hand." So, were they about to undergo persecution or threat or something, and maybe that is the type of prayer to be alert and watchful, maybe?
Well, I think, let me get back over there, 4:7, before since Christ.
Because, I mean, I guess to me...
Was that the...
The description of Jerusalem.
Right.
The end of all things is at hand. Mm-hmm.
What were you saying?
Well, I was just saying, you know, to me, it's almost a little confusing when it says sound judgment. I mean, because if you have a person that's got dementia, does that mean that their prayer's not going to, because they're not really in sound judgment? So, you know, does...
I think the intent here is more to be alert in your prayers.
Right.
Because, especially because of the circumstances they're in. The, you know, the destruction of Jerusalem's coming, and, you know, be ready.
Well, it's also the things that they used to be a part of.
What things?
That they were... Verse 3. Carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued the course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Let's see. In all this, they're surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that they are judged in the flesh as men, and they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. And so I think it has something to do with stuff that they are no longer a part of, and focusing on what has been done.
So basically, get your mind right, stop acting crazy.
Wally, do you have any thoughts?
Well, if you go back, the whole book, well, that going through the whole book, just go back over the immediate context, going, I'm really all the way up to chapter 3. They were being persecuted. They were living in an unholy world, trying to be holy. They called them out to be holy. And I may be wrong on this, but my understanding about this verse, in the first part of it, the end of all things in here, Peter was an apostle and a prophet. It doesn't mean the end of all things. The end of the world, that's not what he's talking about. So it's the end of other things. And I'm not sure this is what he had in mind, but then one of the things he'd be talking about is somebody mentioned it, destruction of Jerusalem and the impact that the Jews would have on it. Now, I don't have the alternative translation. It sounds like Pam does about sound judgment. Be serious. These are serious. and that's true. I mean, that's not unique to this verse about us being serious about our life and our prayers. So the sound judgment aspect of it, I don't take that to mean something intellectually. It's not just from the standpoint of worldly thought of, hey, you got either nuts or you're got sound judgment. It's really recognize the times in which you live and persecution in which you're going in, and holy people around you, and be a serious mindset.
Okay. So that,
that's where I'd understand it.
Well, then the way that the New King James puts that is pretty helpful then on the sound judgment part.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, what does the American, does the American Standard use something different there?
It says, be therefore of sound mind and of be sober mind. Unto prayer.
New King James is serious and watchful. I think that's, is it the New American Standard that says judgment?
Sound judgment.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's mine's a New American Standard. Are the other ones, yours says that too, babe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sound mind. Did that help any?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on then. So we see that the apostles taught that we should pray. And we can see in their lives that they did the same thing. They did the very thing that they were teaching. They practiced what they preached, if you will. So let's look at some examples of prayer in their lives. Let's look at Acts 1:14. Acts 1:14 says, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So, what were they doing? We obviously see from, that was a question I put on there, but we see that they were praying. The apostles and others were praying. Now, why were they praying? What were they praying about?
Strength, I would say. Strength to carry out the mission the Lord just give. Commission the Lord just give. Do the things the Lord wanted to do.
Or things that were to come, or... Okay.
Well, because Jesus had just ascended, so...
Okay.
I mean,
so they were praying about what had happened and things that are to come. And the apostles had the duty of proclaiming Christ. So what are some things? Did you have a thought?
Do you really know what they were praying? I mean, what in the context tells you what they were praying about? You know they were praying, but what
okay.
do you really...
Let's look at... bear with me just...
Well, for me... In verse 16, it almost... When Peter, you know, tells him that... You know, the scripture had to be fulfilled. So it's almost like they were... Praying for, I don't know, I'm assuming that they were confused and upset, and he's trying to reassure them. Maybe not.
Who's trying to reassure them?
Peter. Because Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren and said, brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled.
What about Judas dying?
Oh, never mind.
I think, personally, that they're praying about the upcoming choice they have to make and the fact that the Holy Spirit is supposed to come. Jesus told them to go there and wait for the Holy Spirit to come, and I think they're, you know, praying for that.
But
just because that's in context. I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
they're supposed to assume that.
Yeah, I mean, My point is we need to be careful not to assume that we know what they were praying for. That there, it says they were praying, but it really doesn't tell us what they were praying for. I mean, we can assume a lot of things, and we just need to be careful when we make assumptions.
I don't know if it's the same prayer, but in verse 24 it says they prayed when they were trying to choose. And they prayed and said, "Thou Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show which one of these two thou hast chosen." So at least in that verse we know it.
Yeah, that's right.
They're replacing Judas.
Right. I think I had that on part of some of the other lesson.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get you.
No, that's okay. I just.
So we can really know. We can know their situation. You know, we know what just happened and what's about to happen. So.
Right, we definitely know that. What did happen. So keeping that in mind, well, as far as the duty that they're going to have before them, what are some things that we might be able to pray about? If we looked at things in our lives, what things might we pray about?
Comfort.
Okay.
When I say comfort, I mean just accepting decisions, accepting like if we've prayed before and accepting his answers and finding comfort in whether that answer was no. Or are you looking for physical things?
No, well, what I had, maybe I didn't word it very well, but what I had in mind is because if they're, you know, this duty that they're going to have to take upon, then we're students, and we're striving to grow and to teach others. So we can pray for understanding.
Pray for opportunity.
Opportunity. And yes, sir, Rocky.
I think one of them we could pray about. Again, I think Greg makes a good point. Doesn't really say in context. It does say they were continually devoted, evidently something they were highly engaged in and think all things were going through. But one thing that came to mind here is that these men probably have high level anxiety. They're there to be all these witnesses. The Holy Spirit had come upon them. They're probably wondering, how is this going to happen? Am I going to be able to do it? You know, they don't have that power yet. So I would think that they have a high level of anxiety, and I think for us, we go through periods of time when we might have a lot of anxiety in our lives, a lot of uncertainty of how we're going to do certain things. So I think that's a good time to go to God in prayer.
Okay.
Making big decisions, or if we're going to have some life changing, their lives are about to change. Commission that they have.
Right.
And there are times in our lives when we go through, life-altering type events, that's a time to pray that we're able to accept those and to endure and...
Okay.
Luke 24 says they were praising and blessing God.
Right, in 47, or which part?
Luke 24, 53.
53?
After they return to Jerusalem.
Okay. And also, let's see, Luke 24, 47 through 49, also, as far as that the repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem, and you're witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending from the promise of my Father upon you, but you're to stay in the city until you're clothed with power on high. And that was more of some of what we're talking about, these things to come, as far as the proclaiming Christ. When I mentioned as far as some things we can pray about, as far as maybe understanding, and when we, and I don't think any of us thinks this, but when we pray for understanding, we don't think that we're just going to be zapped with understanding, but we know that we've got to look to God's word, and maybe we can pray that while we're looking to God's word, that we might have the understanding that we need, that we might apply these things in the way that He meant. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Second Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." And so we are to handle the word of God accurately. And if we look in verse 24 through 26, it says, "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." So verses 24 through 26, we see maybe some characteristics or attitude that we're not to be quarrelsome or kind, or we need to be kind and able to teach, patient when wrong, and all these things. We see that we can pray for characteristics like this, things that we know that we should be or we should have in our lives. And we also can pray that when we use these correctly, that those around us might be influenced, you know, those that we're trying to teach, that it might be a positive influence by our actions and our teaching. So we know as Christians we need to teach, but we need to understand the responsibility that we have as teachers. Because on one hand, we're supposed to teach, but then on the other hand, we have warnings or responsibility. Let's look at James 3. James 3:1. "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." This is why we need to be careful, or why we should always teach from God's will and not our own, think so. Our teachings will affect other people, and even if in error, so we can lead others to error. And we see here the danger. Well, of course, we see the danger of leading others to error, but we also see a danger for ourselves. yet we still need to teach. So maybe a balance or what. So we need to be mindful of this, and this is something that can be helpful to us, or something we should be thoughtful of when we pray, because that's things we can pray for, is praying for the example we are to others, or if we're trying to teach others directly, and also, like we've mentioned before, our actions always teach something as well, so we need to keep all these things in mind. But are there any comments or thoughts? Or okay. In Acts 20 and 36, Acts 20:36 says, when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. So, we know that this was after that he had addressed the Ephesian elders. Now, what was Paul telling them or explaining to them up to this point? Was there...
Well, that he had declared to them the word, you know, in full, and that, and then their responsibility that, you know, that they had to carry out.
Okay. So in verse 31, the second part of verse 31, it starts talking about how he had, for a period of 3 years, he did not cease to admonish them, and each one with tears. And he speaks of the time and the work that he had put in to teaching them. So, in connection with this, what are some things that we might pray about? I put on the lesson two verses we can look at. Let's look at Acts 17:11. Now, we're speaking of the Bereans here. It says, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. Excuse me. So, we see that these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. I'm not going to get it now. Thessalonica. There we go. That place. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And also in Luke 8:18, it says, so take care how you listen. So, the point that I've had here, when you look at the Bereans and how they were devoted to looking to the Word, or they were eager and they were examining the Word, and also when you look here where it says to take care how you listen, just One thing that we can pray about is that we might receive teaching effectively. So when we look to things or things we hear, we need to examine these things so we might be effective in what we're learning, that we might learn them in the way that we should, and not only learn things, but the way we put things into action as well. Y'all kind of get what I was telling out there? That make any sense? Okay.
Like being open to being taught? Is that what you're getting from Luke 8? Take care how you listen?
Well, we need to... Well, the way that the Bereans were, what they were taking what they heard. They were being careful because they were examining it to God's Word. So we've got to be careful of how we maybe understand things. And that's something that we could pray about too, that we would understand things in the way that they were meant as well. Because we could still look at things, and I mean, it's obvious from other places we see about us, not everybody is going to look to verses and agree exactly that it has the same meaning. And that might be because they're not looking at all of the verses. But just my point was taking these things that we hear, that we need to look to God's Word and have an understanding. And that's also, we can pray for such an understanding. Kind of what we were looking at earlier, we're not going to be zapped with understanding. We're going to have to put some study into it. But we still, just because we study, doesn't necessarily mean we're going to always come up with the right answer. So we have to, I mean, really look into it, and we can pray about that. I mean, pray that we'll have the understanding and that we would understand the way that God meant. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have a thought, Ron?
I had another comment closely related to that there in that verse. They received the word with great eagerness. As we know about the Thessalonians, they received the word, they've undergone persecution, they still stayed faithful. And I think the message for us today, for us all of us here in the world, we've been Christian for many, many years. Will the Word of God ever, will we ever have to get to the point where we won't receive the word with great eagerness? Great amount of zeal and openness to respond to it. I think that's a danger that Christians who've been Christians for a number of years have that danger. And so we pray to have that word proceeded with eagerness.
That's good.
You know that song. You know the song we should sing. I love to tell the old story. I always think about that. Am I ever going to get a point of not wanting to tell the old story and be real excited and have a lot of zeal about it? So I think that's part of some of this prayer.
Okay.
That zeal and longing for that word, for the entire rest of your life.
Okay. Good thought. Any other comments or thoughts on that? Okay. Let's look at Acts 1:24. Acts 1:24 said, and they prayed and said, let me readjust these. They prayed and said, you Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you have chosen. So, what were they doing here?
Replacing Judas.
Okay. Okay, so they were praying about selecting the apostle, or which apostle. And what things might we pray for? Because hope I hadn't made it confusing. When I'm going through some of these things, I'm just taking examples of, well, kind of like we did in the prayers of Jesus, taking examples of what we see from some of the prayers and see what we can learn from them. A lot of Jesus's, we were looking at different things as far as times, places, and things that were going on. And so I hope when I'm writing these questions, try to keep that in mind. I might not be the best at wording this, but that's kind of the thought I'm having. So...
like choosing jobs? Is that something that you're...
Oh, you mean as far as with this prayer? Well, I just was having a thought because on some of this other stuff, I just had a thought just come in.
Oh, dear.
It's been a long day.
Weren't they really asking that Jesus' will be done here? I mean, they were asking for which of these two.
Well, right, yeah,
but they were really asking for Jesus, your will, and then they cast lots, and the one was chosen the fastest chosen. So we don't know if the lots were 11 to 0 or
right.
6 to 5 or whatever, but if you look at it, that maybe all the lots weren't cast for him. That's an assumption again. I hate to get off on assumptions, mm-hmm. But the idea that, hey, regardless of how what I feel here and which of these two I think is better, it's Jesus, it's what your will is.
Right.
And that's really what they were praying for, and that's what we can
right.
So pray for, is that Jesus, your will be done, not necessarily.
So, but they were still asking for an answer.
Yeah.
Right. So, yes, sir.
Another way of looking at that was they're looking for his direction. They wanted what, you know, what his direction, what he wanted.
Right, what I think that's what Greg was saying. That's wanting to know what God's will is. We've got just about a minute or so. Then we're going to pick up.
Do you need to write down your thought before you forget it?
No, that was the thought. No, I was just trying to explain the reasoning behind some of my questions, just in case they weren't real clear.
That's
all I was trying to do.
Okay.
Like I said, it's been a long day, so my brain is trying to function here.
Well,
thank y'all for y'all's comments.
It may not be.
Yeah. Thank y'all for y'all's comments.